This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
One of the interesting things about Scripture is that when we look at it, sometimes we have a parallel passage to compare. Now, this is the Matthew version of the Transfiguration. And the Transfiguration is where our Lord is transfigured before his apostles, and he shows to them his divinity. And they can see it visually for the first time that we know of. So the light that is within him, because he is God himself, and he shines like the sun, and they see that. And it's meant to strengthen them and their faith in him so they can make it through Holy Week, because when they see him crucified and die on the cross, it's going to be very straining on their faith, and they're going to be put into confusion. Now, you and I know how it ends. He's going to be raised from the dead, but they didn't know that. And so this is the man they saw walk on water and raise the dead, and all of a sudden he's handed over to his enemies. He doesn't fight back, and he's crucified and he dies. So they're in a state of confusion and bewilderment. So this moment where they see his divinity is meant to help them get through that difficult time. Now, in the Luke version, we get to find out what he's talking about. It says he's talking to Moses and Elijah. You're thinking, well, what are they talking about? It says in the Luke version, they are talking about his upcoming exodus from Jerusalem. So what does that mean? Well, we got to understand that a lot of the stories in the Old Testament are foreshadowing an event in the New Testament. So they're symbolic. And there's a lot of mini gospel stories in the Old Testament. For instance, when Abraham offers his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, it parallels God the Father offering his only beloved son Jesus on Mount Calvary for our sins. So, since they use that word Exodus, remember the first two books in the Bible, Genesis, which is the beginning, and then the Exodus, which is the story of them leaving slavery in Egypt. But it is, for our purposes, for the gospel purposes, when the people leave the slavery of Egypt, it symbolizes us leaving the slavery to sin that we are held in by the sin of Adam and Eve and our own sins. And so we are on an exodus, just as Jesus was. Jesus was on an exodus to complete his delivery of us from the house of slavery. So Jesus is talking to Moses, and Jesus, of course, outranks and replaces Moses in the big picture. So we see Moses is there, and Moses, of course, led his people out of the slavery to Egypt, which again, as I said, is a symbol for our slavery to sin. And so he delivered them from that physical slavery. Jesus delivers us from this spiritual slavery. So when we think about it, what happened? The plagues. We had the 10 plagues. Moses gets the 10 commandments, and then we have the 10 plagues, which could be, in a sense, a foreshadowing of punishment for violating the 10 commandments. But, you know, of course, we have Jesus to deliver us from that punishment. So, of the 10 plagues, which is the most severe? The last one, the death of the firstborn. And so Jesus takes this punishment, the most severe, the 10 plagues, upon himself, the death of the firstborn Son of God. And so his death on the cross, he takes the punishment that is coming to us. We deserve it, but he doesn't. He's innocent. So the punishment of our sins is upon him. As it says in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. He takes upon himself the guilt of us all. So Jesus is delivering us from sin. That is his exodus. And we also have an exodus and a transfiguration. Because, you know, we are beings of light within. Now, you know, I can look in the mirror and see if I'm having a bad hair day, or in my case, a no hair day or less hair day. But you can't look in the mirror and see your soul. So what do? We look at our conscience to see how our soul is doing, because our soul should be filled with light. When you look at all the stained glass windows and the statues, they have these little halos. The halo is a symbol for the light of God's grace within the saints, and it's shining forth. The halos are the light that is within us. So we have light in our soul, but we can't see it. It will be manifested on the day we leave this body behind. Now, the frightening thing is if the light that's supposed to be in there isn't there, and we have a soul filled with darkness of sin and separation from God. It's about as frightening as it gets. So that's why it's important for us to recognize we are on a journey of exodus. We are leaving the house of sin, you know, behind us. So our soul, which is our spiritual house, should not be in a state of sin, but in a state of grace, a state, you know, of light, you know. So grace is very important for the life of heaven. Now, in a sense, I try to give people analogies to understand a little bit. I say grace is the currency of heaven. What is it that people want in this world so much? Money. Ooh, with money, hey, I can do a lot of things. I can buy a house by the beach. I can buy a fancy car. I can travel. I can do a lot of things with money. But on the day we die, the money stays here. So grace, which I call the currency of heaven, is much more valuable because it's permanent. It's eternal. So do you think that Mary cares that she didn't have any money when she was in this world? No, we say Hail Mary full of grace, not Mary full of money. She could care less about money. She's full of grace, and God crowned her the queen of heaven and earth, angels and saints, the highest saint in heaven. So grace is where it's at. And so when we honor Mary, her prayers help us receive more and more grace. And so to get our hearts away from the love of sinful things in this world. So we are on an exodus. We are leaving behind the love of sin and the things of this world, and we're moving on a journey from this world to heaven. Exodus. We're going to exit this world on the day we die, and hopefully we will have lots of grace and lots of light in our soul, so that on the day we die, we will be transfigured into what we were meant to be, beings of light, beings much higher than this world. And so that's why we don't want to lower ourselves to the animal level, you know, by being like animals who just run on their instincts and their lower desires. We want to be like the angels, and that's where we will be. We belong, you know, not in the basements and dungeons of sinful places. We belong on the clouds of heaven with the angels and the saints, filled with light, with God. That's our destiny. That's where we're supposed to be. So we spend our lives making this exodus. So let's consider Moses again for a minute. So what does Moses do? He leads his people away from the slavery of Egypt. They go across the Red Sea to the Promised Land, which is a symbol for heaven. Now, St. Paul, I can't remember the passage, but I know that he compares baptism to the journey, you know, across the Red Sea. Now, an interesting thing about this, I think they're making a movie on this, is biblical archaeology has some very interesting things, like the rock that Moses struck with his staff is a rock that's understood to be the one that Moses hit. It's got this incredible straight line through this giant rock, and evidence that water flowed from within it, and there's no source of water around there. So the other thing is, if you go to the Red Sea where they crossed to the Promised Land, now, sonar shows us what the ocean floor looks like. And if the water is taken out, just about all the spots is a cliff, and it's straight down. So you take the water out, you go to walk off the cliff, you're going to get killed, you're going to fall down. However, interestingly enough, there's a spot that has what we could describe roughly as a giant boat launch ramp that comes to the edge of the water and goes down gradually to the bottom and then comes back up on the other side. How'd that get there? Like it was meant to be, waiting for the moment. And divers have found and taken pictures of, you can see it on YouTube, of the chariot wheels of the Egyptian soldiers that followed them and chased them, and the helmets and the swords and the shields and the skeletons of the horses and the soldiers down there in the bottom where God caused the water to come back. So baptism is the beginning of our exodus, where we are washed clean by the grace of Christ. So the water that flows from the side of Christ, you know, is a symbol pointing to the waters of baptism, where we are cleansed. So we are born into the life of Christ at baptism. Then we are nourished by the body and blood of Christ. So the precious blood flowing from the side points to the Eucharist that we receive at Mass, at Holy Communion. So when we look at the Mass, you know, remember Jesus takes the Mass, which is the Passover meal. And the Passover means, you know, the angel of death is passing over. So the angel of death kills the firstborn of the Egyptians, because they don't have the blood of the lamb on the two doorposts. The two doorposts of the home symbolize the cross. So one is vertical, one is horizontal. So there's a connection with the door frame. But what is the door to the home symbolically pointing towards? Our home, our true home, which is our soul. So the blood of the Lamb, Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The blood of the Lamb comes upon our soul to nourish us and cleanse us, so that the angel of death, the scary one, because the death that they died, when the angel of death came, it was the physical death of the firstborn of the Egyptians and those that didn't have the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. But the scary angel of death is the angel of the second death. So the first death is the death of the body. That's the punishment that we all get because of Adam and Eve. And even Jesus dies the first death. But the second death, that's the scary one, the death of the soul. And the book Revelation talks about the second death. We don't want that one. That's where our soul is filled with darkness and sin and is not being transfigured from a life of prayer and grace and faith. So it's important for us to remember we're not meant to be here permanently. This is a place of preparation for heaven. We are going on an exodus. We are journeying through baptism, through the Eucharist, through prayer, through penance, through saying no to temptation, yes to the works of mercy, and we are preparing ourselves to exit this body, and our soul, which we spend our lives preparing to live in heaven, will then leave, and we exit and we go to the promised land, which is heaven. And so that whole story with Moses is a big allegory, a symbol preparing us for the gospel. So Jesus goes on his exodus and we are on our exodus. So Jesus is, in a sense, like a spiritual Moses leading his people to the promised land. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's getting us away from sin into the world of grace. And so as we remember then, the Old Testament is all about prophecies, which, and the New Testament is about the fulfillment with Christ. The Old Testament is symbols, and the New Testament is the reality. So Jesus, at the Last Supper, takes the Passover meal, which was done for centuries, and reveals its true purpose. So for centuries, the Jews would meet and they would eat unleavened bread. Our Holy Communion is unleavened bread. And why is it unleavened? Not leavened, because they don't have time. They're leaving the house of Egypt, that slavery, in haste. They want to get out of there as fast as possible. And we should be the same way. We want to get out of sin as fast as possible. And so we remember too, if we've committed serious sins after baptism, we go to confession to get ourselves restored to our baptismal state so that we're ready to go. So the unleavened bread, which they ate for centuries, was a symbol for the body of Christ. So that Passover meal was waiting for the day that God would come and transform it into the Mass. So Jesus himself points to symbols in the Old Testament. When he begins the greatest teaching on the Mass in John chapter 6, at the beginning, he says, Your fathers ate the manna, the bread that fell from heaven, you know, in the desert, but they died. I will give you the true bread from heaven. And then he says, I am the living bread come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. Because remember, part of the Passover meal was not just eating the unleavened bread, but they also ate the flesh of the lamb that was slaughtered. So the lamb, which symbolized Christ, the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, all those little lambs that were slaughtered, then the people ate the flesh of the lamb. So we eat the body and blood, soul and divinity, the flesh of Christ. And you kind of sometimes people say, oh, that's kind of gross. Well, not really. Where do you think the flesh you got now came from? Comes from God. God gave it to you. So eating the flesh of God is just, you know, a way for us to grow in unity with the God who gave us this body in the first place. So it's just, so baptism, Holy Communion, all that's all about unity with Christ, so that Christ and his power and his grace and life and light are within us, so that on the day we die, we go to be with the angels in heaven where we belonged all along. That's where we have meant to be. So they would put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, and the angel of death would pass over. So too, the angel of the second death, which again is the scariest one because it's the death of the soul, will pass over us. But we make a choice. We make a choice to be united with Christ or not. When we unite ourselves with Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, with the Lamb's blood through Holy Communion, we are covered. We are protected from the angel of death because we are the people of God. We are the saved, the children of God. And so we need to sort of see the connection with the gospel and the book of Exodus. So Jesus takes this Passover meal and transforms it into the Mass. And so that's one of the beautiful aspects of the Mass, if we understand it as part of our exodus from sin, our exodus from this world to heaven, our exodus from sin into grace. And so we will be transfigured through a life of prayer and penance and sacraments and self-denial and carrying the cross. And so we will then be united to Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer. He will lead us to the true promised land, which is eternal heaven, with the angels and saints, and with God the Father.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.